World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good afternoon. Hi, good out at the old OK Corral. Coach Dave and the crew here at Coach Dave Live. Doing a kind of an unusual situation here. We're having our second broadcast here today, and we had the chance to be able to get Larry Nichols to join us again. For those of you who listened to the show that we did last night with Larry, Larry's sick. Larry's really, really sick. He's just gotten home from the hospital, but he shared with us last night that he's got some information that he wants to share and wants to be able to get out. And so yesterday we did a Skype video with Larry. Today we're doing the old Google Hangouts, the way that we normally do it. And those of you maybe who tuning in for the first time can see down here at the bottom, we got about 10 guys as part of this conversation. This is live call-in talk radio is what it is. And so Larry is up. When I was just talking with Larry last night, he said he wanted to do Hillary 2017. By the way, I want to show you this. I got my shirt on today, Hillary for prison. Listen, understand, this is not a political position. I'm not endorsing a candidate or anything here. I'm just saying this woman ought to be in jail. She ought to be in jail. And I can't believe that we live in a country today where she's even considered to be able to run for office. Larry Nichols. For those of you who don't know, or maybe you're tuning in for the first time, Larry Nichols goes way back to the Clintons before Bill was even governor of Arkansas, back 1976, I think he told me yesterday, and was a close confidant of the Clintons until about 1990, close up around 1990, and then for whatever reason, a separation occurred. But Larry is the guy who is responsible for having built what we now know as the Clinton machine. And that's how they operated down in Arkansas. And this organization that Larry built, when they went to Washington, D.C., they just took that organization with them. And instead of running, controlling the entire state of Arkansas, they're controlling, looks like they're trying to control the globe. So we're really honored that Larry would come with us. He gets a lot of media requests and doesn't always get doesn't take all of them because of his health. But he's, as you can see, he's got oxygen on today. So I like it, Larry. Reminds me of my dad. My dad died of COPD, and my dad went down smoking to the very end. His lungs are giving up. He went down smoking to the very end. So I understand that one, Larry. Hey, Larry, welcome. We call this Coach Dave Live, Pass the Salt, Coach Dave Live. Larry, just take us for a journey here, because we were talking last night. For those of you who didn't get a chance to see the video, it is archived at CoachDaveLive.com, and Larry gave us a good overview of the Clintons last night. I don't want to go back and replay all that. We want to move forward. Larry said, I said, and Larry said, this is about the salvation of Western civilization, that America will never be the same if Hillary is not in prison. If she's able to become president of the United States, Larry said, you won't believe what's coming in Hillary 2017. So, Larry, I'm going to give you the floor here, buddy, and let's get it on record how you see this whole thing playing out.
Well, if I may, Coach, the first thing, since you're making reference to High Noon, I did a show with Alex Jones. In that show, I delivered a personal message. He allowed me to deliver a personal message to Bill and Hillary. But it was based off of a meeting that took place with Bill Clinton and I, with the head of his state police security, Buddy Young, a day before he left Arkansas for the last time to go be president. He called, wanted to meet with me. And to make sure no cameras or anybody was around, we met under a bridge on the Wilbur Mills Freeway, Fannie Fox Freeway, as it's referred to in Arkansas. About a block or two from the state capitol. We were literally just under the bridge right there on that interstate. to make sure nobody could hear what was said or whatever.
This is right out of the movies, Larry.
Well, it gets worse than that. When Bill came up, first Buddy Young frisked me to make sure I didn't have a camera or whatever. Bill came up and he said, look, I'm now Larry, the President of the United States, or I'm going to be. And, you know, I'll leave you alone if you leave me alone was basically what the conversation at that point was. And I told Bill that day, I said, Bill, it's going to be high noon, buddy. High noon. And one day, one of us is going to leave town. One of us is lying, and we know who it is. He said, you're crazy. You're insane. I'm president. I'll be president. There's nothing you can do. I said, Bill, I don't care if you're the Pope. You and I are going to meet at high noon, and we're going to have that day. Well, as it turned out, I was a good part. I'm not going to say the whole thing to get Bill Clinton impeached. Most of the hearings that came up in Congress and the Senate covering various scandals, those hearings were scandals that I had released. The other day, I sent a message to Bill and Hillary via Alex Jones, and I said, I reminded Bill of the high noon, and I said, it's finally come. I said, I wounded you when you were president, got you impeached, but I didn't get you thrown out of office. But I told him what was going to happen, and so that's the high noon story, so that you know. What I want to talk about today, and let me apologize to the audience. I got tubes and stuff everywhere, and might blow myself up. You might see me blow myself up smoking on oxygen right here.
I was worried about that, actually.
Yeah.
That'd make this video go viral, Larry, if that happened.
Wouldn't it? It would be something. But what I wanted to come on here and tell y'all is literally what the coach said. What it's going to be like, Hillary, 2017. We have enough time now. Right now, I know it's Friday. The election is coming next Tuesday. But I want you to know what's coming, and maybe that will give you a little more drive, a little more push to help us do the one thing that we've all got to do to save this election. Coach, I told you yesterday, I believe Donald Trump can win this thing on votes. I believe that. Don't know if he will, but he can't. If it were fair, it's not going to be fair. It's going to be the largest amount of voter fraud ever in the history of this nation, maybe the world. So it's up to us to stop that. And I would recommend, without tying up time on this program, go to LarryNichols.info, LarryNichols.info. When you get there, there's a page or whatever you call it where it talks about voter fraud, how to report it, what to do when you see it to make it usable in a court of law. Having said all of that, let's go to the first day Hillary gets sworn in. The first day she gets sworn in, and it will be quick, she's going to fire every federal prosecutor in this country. Fine. Except for a handful that are loyal to her. And you say, well, she can't do that. Let me tell you, she's already done it once before. When Bill Clinton was elected president, go back and check it out. His first day in power, he got rid of every federal prosecutor, fired them all. Well, fired 111 of them. Now, Coach, the person that made the decision to get rid of him wasn't Bill. That ain't what he does. That was Hillary. Hillary ordered him gone. And Hillary was the clearinghouse to figure out who was going to get to be the federal prosecutors. So
Larry, hang on a minute. This is important because she is putting into place, will be putting into place her people so that if something comes before those judges, she's already stacked the deck.
Well, it's a simple move, but it's deadly. Anything anybody has, and they know there's stuff out there, before you can go and bring a case against the President of the United States or her minions, you have got to go through federal prosecutor. You got to. And of course, no matter what you have, Coach, I don't know where I'm supposed to be looking. Do I look at your picture?
You're doing fine. Look at your camera, but that's okay. Whatever. We see you good.
All right. The whole strength to a Clinton administration, and I know this because I helped set it up, the whole strength is blackmail and extortion. That's the key to it. So in a defensive posture, they have to cut any and everybody off from being able to bring charges against them if they see anything. And of course, by controlling the federal prosecutor, you could see Hillary doing an abortion, Coach, on the front lawn of the White House. You could have it on tape, but it'll go nowhere if you can't get a federal prosecutor to prosecute it. Yeah. It won't. So now you understand she's going in 2017. She will go in without any fear of prosecution. Without any fear of prosecution. You might say, however, but we've heard talk. We've heard all these Republicans saying, oh, boy, if she gets elected, you're in trouble. Because there's going to be investigation after investigation after. She'll never be able, and I believe that except for one thing. When she gets in office, you now know, don't believe me, because folks, you don't have to believe me. Look for yourself. She controls the Justice Department.
Loretta, she already does. She already does. Saying.
She's got the Justice Department. Now, the FBI, she controls Jim Comey. Whether she got something on him, I don't know what that relationship is that facilitates her owning him, and it may be something we'll never know. She's got the FBI, list a few of the FBI people that I've talked to that are the ones actually revolting, the ones actually trying to get her adjudicated properly. Well, when she takes office, she'll fire every federal prosecutor, Coach. But she'll also fire every FBI agent that's been trying to get Comey to do what's right. She'll fire him. So now she's got justice. She's got the FBI. The media. The only other thing that comes to mind that could save us is a free and open press. Well, I don't need to tell y'all. You hear again, you should see it for yourself. That the media is in bed with Hillary, big time. Now, they're not going to carry any story about Hillary that Hillary does not want carry. It's not going to happen. So now they got justice, they got the FBI, they've got the media. So what's the only other way that you could get to Hillary once president? And that would be Congress. You got to watch out. See, I tell you, the person that I wouldn't want to be, and that's kind of really bad considering the shape I'm in, but the person I'd really hate to be is that Trey Gowdy. And then the other guy, Chavez or whatever. Those guys have tried to keep this thing hot. They're trying to get all of this done in Congress, trying to get something brought forth. When she gets elected president, they're going to dig up dirt on those two guys, maybe three guys, maybe as many as four. They'll dig up dirt and expose it.
They'll create dirt. Them. They'll create dirt also, won't they, Larry? They don't dig it up, they create it.
Yeah. What I was going to say, they'll dig up dirt and use it on them. Now, if there happens to not be any, don't worry. They'll make it up. They'll make it up. And unlike anybody else that comes out and says a story, you normally have to deal with the media, if nothing else, fact-checking and verifying whether the story's true or not. That will not happen under a Hillary-dominated world. Will not happen. And all she's got to do, folks, is pick one, two, maybe three, maybe four congressmen or senators pick them out, destroy them, and maybe even put one in jail. Maybe put one in jail. And the Republicans will hang their head in shame, and they'll never hit a lick, Coach. Never hit a lick.
So, Larry, is that why up to this point the average person that's watching this says, why isn't anybody doing anything? Is that what's really already taken place, Larry? Have they already co-opted most of those guys, scared them, got dirt on them? What's the issue there?
You know, Coach, you have to look at Congress as I look at it in Washington. There are not two parties in Washington. There's not a Democratic Party and a Republican Party. There's just one. Just one. And they're all in on it. They're all in on the game. They want to be in power. And by the way, what is the game? The game is we have been under a silent coup since the day Bill Clinton took office as president, how many years ago that was?
92.
We've been under the development of a silent coup. A silent coup is when you change out a government peacefully. You don't have to have a revolt. They've been working at this and working at this and working at this. And if you ask any congressman or senator, 2 years ago when this race came, they would have told you Hillary's going to be in it and Hillary's going to win. I mean, they just totally believed that she's going to win. They're not going to fight. There is no – let me tell you what Washington is, folks. It's the first three rows in wrestling matches. First three rows. Those are the people, bless their heart, that go into a professional wrestling match. They're right up there. They see the fighters get hit in the face with a folding chair and don't break nothing. They see a guy rear off with these big muscle-bound guys hitting a guy in the face. If that happened in real life, their nose would be spread all over from ear to ear. And then sitting that close, you can hear them actually calling out the gags. You know, let's do the flip, let's do the flip, or go to code one. They see all of that stuff happen right in front of them, and they'll walk out of the arena and believe it was real.
Hmm.
Now, that's what they think of the American people.
So, Larry, this has been going on since 1992. By the way, anybody here in the queue, if you have a question, just give me your hand and we'll get you in there. What's the end game, Larry? What's the end game for Bill and Hillary? They're worth $250 million now, they say. I mean, they got all kinds of money. Bill looks sicker every day. Hillary, we know her issues. What's the end game in this for Bill and Hillary Clinton?
Power. Power like no one ever in the history of the world's ever had. Since Hillary was 4 years old, which I got from her father and mother, since she was 4 years old, all she's ever wanted to be was the first female president, first woman president. But Hillary has a thirst for just absoluteness. That's the problem. That's the difference between her and Bill. Bill was loose as a goose. Bill's a fun guy to be around. You're not finding people saying Hillary's fun to be around. No, sir. But it's all about power. And in 1986, that was the first time it was exposed to me that that's what it was all about, because Hillary and Bill came to me and our little team of handlers, as it were, Dickie Morris, Paul Begala, a few others, and said, we want to plan, because our system was working so well, we want to plan to make us president. And so we developed what was called the 86 plan. And in that plan, Bill Clinton would win. He'd serve two terms. Then they would rest the term after Bill left. And then Hillary would run. And then when she's elected president, within 6 months, she will appoint Bill Clinton ambassador to the UN. And then because of the work that we designed back then, we called it the Clinton Foundation, but there was no Clinton Foundation. We said you form a foundation, and this foundation allows you to build relationships, kind of get people in on the take from all these foreign other nations. And 6 months after he's made ambassador to the UN, Bill Clinton will be appointed Secretary General of the UN. which then leads to their end game. Their end game, they will then become the most powerful people coach ever in the history of the world. She over the United States, him over the UN. Total power. Total power. And that's what they want, coach. That's what they're going to get.
So,
and by the way, don't worry. They will walk over anyone that gets in their way. They'll walk right over any one person, group of people, or whatever. And people know it. People in the high places, coach, they know how vicious this woman is. They're scared to death of her.
You know, somebody's obviously very scared. George, you have a question there? Let's see if George can get in here.
Hey Larry, this is George.
Hey, George.
Is there any way, in your opinion, that this can be stopped and that Trump will win? Or do you think this is final?
or let me piggyback on that, George. Will Trump winning even make a difference?
There is a project I've been working on for over 2 years because I knew this day was coming. I knew it. And I tried to find out, George, what was the only thing we can do, because I knew she'd use massive voter fraud. So it's kind of the votes, as y'all saw in the primary, are kind of ridiculous because the parties pick who they want, and that's what you're going to get, Trump being the exception. So let's deal first with Hillary winning. If Hillary wins, we will have probably 60, 90, maybe 120 days from the day she is sworn in to do the only thing, George, that saves America, that can save America, and that's states' rights. We have to find one governor with one issue, one state legislature, pass a law, and then the ACLU and those creeps will challenge it in federal court. And I don't think I need to tell anybody in this group, federal court is nothing but an extension of the White House and the Democratic Party. And they'll stop it. So what a governor needs to do is he needs to stand up and say, no, we passed this law. It meets our constitutional requirements. It's a law and we're implementing it. And boom. What you will have done at that point, George, you will have proven what I know, which is Washington has no clothes in truth. They're not real. They don't have power over us. We've given it to them. We have exceeded that power to them. And the state has got to stand up and take it back. Take it back. The 10th Amendment was there for a reason. And no, it wasn't there for succeeding and all that kind of stuff. All I'm saying is states need to pass laws and implement them when they pass them.
So, Larry, you'll hear a lot of people who will say that Donald Trump has been a plant. He was actually put in there just to clear the way for Hillary, and that electing Donald Trump isn't going to change Washington, D.C. at all. What's your view on that?
Well, that's the other part of the thing I was going to tell you. You have sorry, somebody was calling that I need to get a message to, but what you're going to have if Donald Trump gets elected, you're going to have, he's going to meet a Congress that's going to block him at every turn. You know, Paul Ryan's already announced, he's already announced that he has got a lawsuit. If Trump tries to implement the wall or whatever he wants to do, they're going to block him. See, Congress wants this thing to be the way it's been. That's a cash cow for them. And they're professionals at this. They want it the way it is. And I'll tell you something else. If it collapses under Hillary, they're going to make it a, it's going to take us, as the FEMA provisional government says, it's going to take us into a 16th century type government where Hillary's going to be king. And then under king, you got dukes and earls. Well, that's what these congressmen and senators are doing. They want to be in their place when this country goes down, because then they will become big fish, so to speak, in smaller ponds. But that's, you got 60 to 90 days, maybe 120, before Hillary, as president, will be able to use the FBI and go around to every governor that she's worried might stand up against her and have the FBI do raw intelligence, dig up the files on them, and she'll have the stuff to blackmail and extort them.
Let me swim backwards on you here a second, Larry, because my as you were speaking there, my mind really began to race back to Judge Roy Moore back in 2004, I think it was, with the original right. Ten Commandment case down in Montgomery, Alabama. And here he is 12 years later, and he's back in power again, and they're throwing him out again. Is this being orchestrated from on high, Larry? Is George? It appears that Judge Moore is doing everything he can for the people of Alabama, but he's fighting forces far above him. Is that true?
That is very true. Very, very true. And I'm not talking the spiritual forces. I'm talking man forces. Since this world was created, I think if you go back in the Bible and you'll see from day one, someone's had a lust for power. Always. Somebody's got a lust for power. Want to rule. Nothing's really changed that much. Now, what's deceiving about Hillary is the type of government that she is going to implement. The type of government is you've got the number of ultra, ultra rich people, see my hand, that you could fit in one hand. So let's say five ultra, ultra, ultra rich people, like Gates, like whatever. And everybody else is dirt poor. And see, if everybody else is dirt poor, then they're too busy trying to feed and clothe their family to worry about politics. They won't have time. So everybody's got to be dirt poor. And this five super ultra rich people are what will be called the committee. And then Hillary will be the head of the committee. It's a variation, Coach, of communism, where Putin serves under the Central Committee, supposedly. In Hillary's communism, dictatorial communism, in Hillary's, she is over the Central Committee. But she's used those ultra-rich people to get her where she's at. And they all think, Coach, they all think that this billions of dollars they put in to help in this Bill and Hillary get where they're going to get so that these guys can be, you know, big dogs and control whatever part of it they want. They're wrong. They're wrong. That's what they think. That's what the Clintons let them think. That's what the Clintons tell them. But they're wrong.
Larry, let me take this in direction here. Again, if anybody wants to jump in here, let me know. Larry, you know, the scripture said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places.
Right.
And those of us who are on my show know that I come from a spiritual perspective, that what we see going on in America is the seed of the serpent, the seed of the woman, good against evil, playing right out in front of us, Larry.
Right.
And I saw today, well, first of all, when you were on BJ's show, you spoke about the fact that Hillary was actually a witch and went out to witches' conventions out in California. We right. saw today, Larry, released through WikiLeaks, that John Podesta and his brother were communicating regarding this demonic, this Luciferian ceremony that they were going to take part in. It came out of WikiLeaks, Larry.
Right.
So what I'm asking you is the depth. Bill seems to be amoral. He doesn't seem to have any faith or anything at all. Hillary right. seems to be really connected to the dark side. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
You bet. Hillary is the dark side. Hillary is the dark side. When I first met her, I've told y'all, I've told it so much, I hate to tell it again, but I need to for this audience. First time I met her, Coach, all of you, we were having a fundraiser, meet and greet. First time people in Arkansas were going to meet Bill and Hillary. Well, here we go. We're at the Cajun's Wharf, big spread, really fancy. Time came, Hillary wasn't there. I get panicky, try to find Bill to get a hold of her. Bill was in the bathroom, the girl's bathroom, fondling a waitress. It was going downhill. Then Hillary showed up. She finally showed up about 45 minutes late, 30, 45 minutes, as I recall. She came in, Coach, wearing a muumuu, in case anybody remembers what that kind of dress was. She had hairy legs, hair under her arms, filthy, greasy hair, big horn-rimmed glasses. Around her neck, she had a card that said a proud member of the United States Communist Party. And by the way, she also had on flip-flops. Now, when I went up to her, I said, about the card, I said, Hillary, please, you can't wear that card here. She screamed out, Coach, the F word. She's the first woman I have ever heard use the F word publicly. And she screamed it, calling for Bill to come get me off of her. Well, then Bill didn't show up. She screamed it again. And by this time, Coach, that room went dead quiet. I tell you that story because of this. That day, I remember there was an odor that stunk. She stunk. And I assumed it to be hygiene because she was filthy, right? So, I mean, that's what it had to be. Later on, however, three years later, when we finally got her dressed up and had her looking halfway presentable and with some modicum of, being clean. Wherever you were, you smelled this odor. And I can't describe the odor very well because I don't have a good smeller. But if I can smell it, anybody can. And it's smell of kind of like rotten meat just something really terrible. Now, as late as a couple of years ago, now, a couple called me and they had gone to where Hillary spoke or something. They were in the rope line and they said, gosh, it wasn't much of an event. Everything was bad and they didn't like what Hillary said. But they said when they were standing there, somebody in her group smelled to high heaven. She thought somebody had an odor. And what they told me, it was kind of an odor like rotting meat or whatever. Now, that's where I get out of my pay grade, Coach. To me, she stunk. Over the years, people that I respect in Christian teachings and such say that odor is somehow demonic. Now, you explain that, please. I mean, is that demonic? I mean, is that standard operating equipment?
Michael, you want to jump in here? Hang on.
Yeah, Larry, one of the things that, I would just use the crass comment, maybe that's the rear end of a rat or something that you're smelling. Well, the thing is that in the dimension of what's going on these days, we have a different kind of country than most places. But in Brexit, it didn't look like they could pass the getting out of the European Union. Here, we have a similar thing going on with all of the responses of people. And more people are responding to Trump than ever. So the massive voter fraud would have to be in the millions. Can they do that? The other thing is that what about the dimension of the people? We forget that the people really do have the power if we speak up and use every means, like the states' rights thing. That's because the people could vote in, say, a particular law. The governor has guts and he stands with it. And then you have something there because the people are what matter.
Coach, I mean, Michael, and by the way, it's good to see you finally after all this time. Back to the question, Michael, of it will take millions to rig the vote. I'm hearing some kind of noise. I don't know what that is. Does anybody know? Do y'all hear that? So now it's gone. every election, this election, like most elections, is going to come down to, in popular vote, it's probably going to come down to, you know, 1 to 3 million is going to be the margin. They, in that thing in England where they blocked being a part of the euro, you've got to remember they were dealing with straight up numbers, all right? Popular vote. Maybe they had voter fraud, but certainly not what we would call voter fraud. The voter fraud that they're going to do here, Michael and all of you, is so massive that they can actually shake off the will of the people. And there's another trick, which I will not talk about today because we've got to stay focused on getting Trump elected. But, you know, it's a two-step process to become president. First off, you got to win the popular vote. And then second, you got to win the Electoral College. And so even if they could not amass the numbers to be able to totally win it outright on the popular vote, you've got to all remember 28 states in this country, as I know or think right now, 28 states, the Electoral College members, they can vote any way they want to, regardless of how the people in their state voted. They get to vote on what they want to vote on. They do not have to honor the will of the people. That is a situation that is absolutely 1,000,000% ripe for the Clinton criminal organization. You see, anybody that they can get to that has any chance of affecting their future, they're going to get to them, Michael, Coach Ollie, they're going to get to them. And they're going to find what they're ashamed of, what they've got to hide. Ain't nobody clean. And like we've talked earlier, Michael, if there is an Electoral College member that is clean, won't sell his vote, they'll destroy him. They will. They'll destroy that person. So it's very possible, very, very possible. And I would probably put it in the category, I hate to do it, but I'd put it in the category of probable that Hillary, through all of the stuff she has at her disposal, there's a good chance that she will win it.
So Larry, rather than us sitting here, today is Friday. We got 4 days, 5 days, 4 days till it. Rather than, you know, it's like going to a football game and saying, daggone, I knew that was going to happen. Larry, I don't want to be here on Wednesday. I want Hillary for prison. I don't care about politics. I want her for prison. Larry, what can we do? What can we practically do over the next 5 days or on election day that can something that would hold up in court that can somehow prevent this eventuality from happening?
All right, I'm going to tell this, and then if we don't mind, let me get back to a couple more things that are going to happen when she's president because these are earth-shattering things.
Okay, all right.
The war chant that we should all be hollering is protect your vote. You know, when you think of voter fraud, you think of people coming in and voting multiple times. That's going to happen. That we can take care of to some degree, but you cannot stop it all. But I tell you what, each person listening to me right now can do. Right now, your vote counts more than ever. It counts. But here's what's going to happen. You're going to walk into a voting machine. And when you get there, if it's electronic, and you punch all the things to get your vote cast, before you leave and before you walk out of that voting booth thingy, call over a supervisor and demand. I didn't say ask. I said demand to see proof of how your vote is officially logged. You got it? And they should be able, some machines give you a little printout, like you get at the grocery store. Some of them don't do that, but they can punch a button and it'll show up on the screen how your vote is officially done, and then they can send it on. But if they can't give you either one of those, you must demand a paper ballot.
But Larry, most of the cheating is going to be taking place in the inner city. Wouldn't that be safe to say it's not happening out here in mom and pop America where I am?
That's where I'm going next. But right now, the first thing everybody's got to do is protect their own vote, Coach. Protect your vote. And if they can't give you a paper ballot, say they don't have them, although they're required by law to have them, find out where you can go to get a paper ballot and you cast your vote on a paper ballot.
Early voting or not, Larry? Should we do early voting?
Either way, if you're walking in and it's an electronic machine, you get verification. It doesn't matter early day of, it doesn't matter. Now, the big deal that's coming is the day of the election. They won't probably do it during early voting, but they'll do it day of election. They're going to go to inner cities. And they're going to bring in vans, and we used to bring buses, school buses. But they're not going to do that. They're going to use vans and cars. And again, if you don't believe me, go to WikiLeaks. And there's some guy with WikiLeaks big up in our campaign, stupidly telling these people how they're going to get these people in, saying that they may not even use vans. They may have to use cars because vans are too easy to spot.
Yeah.
But what they'll do is they'll go in, and you're at your precinct. You're there waiting in line to vote. Oh, I left that one other thing. But once you leave that polling booth with your paper ballot, if they don't give you a paper ballot, call the police. Get an official police report where you call 911 and say that they would not give me a paper ballot here, said they didn't have them, and they're sending me to wherever. Then call the police, log it. It's very important for Trump. If he has to take this to court over voter fraud, we need him. Actual dates, times, places, not anecdotal stuff. So you call the police. Then the next thing you do is you go to LarryNichols.info, and there you'll find there's a page where you can record voter fraud that you saw. Now, you can also get that on Drudge. You can get it on Alex Jones. Several people have places to report voter fraud. But if you don't do it exactly like I told you, your example of voter fraud will not be allowed in court. So that, but now we go back to the inner cities. They're going to come in, and you have to know the dynamics of an inner city precinct. The people working at the registration desk, they don't even look up. And in is this horde of people coming to vote, this big bunch of people coming to vote. So what they'll do is I'm going to use a van. They'll bring in a van of 8 to 10 guys. They'll go in, and the first time there'll be Coach Dave Dottenlein. The guy will turn around, come back out. He'll be given another card. This card says Larry Nichols. He'll be Larry Nichols, and he'll go back in. And he'll vote just like he did on the other. The cards will show him exactly how to vote and what to do. But he'll be me. The next time he'll come back in and be you, Michael, and you, everybody. They'll vote 4, 5, 6 times per precinct, per person. Then they'll move on to the next precinct and do it all over again.
Wow.
That's how multiple voting. But here's what you do. You will see it. You'll see it. It's in your face. They'll just walk up. You see them go in. You see them come back out. You see them go in again. Once again, if you see that, go to the person in charge of the precinct. Tell him what you just witnessed. Then I want you to walk out of the building, call the police, report in a police report over the phone what you just saw happen. Give them your name if the police ask it. And then go to LarryNichols.info and get it to us. Do not go and confront these people. Don't get in front of them and try to stop them.
Building a witness list is what you're saying, right, Larry?
That's right. That's exactly it. And by the way, if any of you are part of veterans groups, you see, I do not recommend, Coach, you and Jared, I don't recommend y'all going to an inner city precinct, just the two of you, and trying to monitor for voter fraud. You could get hurt. Remember last time in Philadelphia when they had the new Black Panthers out right there. So, but if there are any veterans organizations or motorcycle gangs or anybody out there that has courage you can go to these precincts with, say, 8, 9, 10 guys and just watch what happens. And when you see it, do just what I told you. Call the police or report it to the head of the polling place. Call the police and then send that report to us. That's what you got to do. And that will stop a goodly portion of it. Will not stop all of it, Coach. It just won't.
We'll scare some of them away, though, from doing it.
That's right.
So, Larry, go ahead. You said there were some other things that you wanted to unveil to us here.
Mm-hmm. So, remember, when Hillary's elected president, when she gets everything the way she wants, we used to always say the Ghostbuster thing, Coach, who are you going to call? No matter what they do, whatever they get caught doing, who are you going to call to have anything done on it? So let's take guns. Guns. Here's what they're going to do with guns. And I know everybody says they'll have to pry my gun out of my dead cold hands. Well, it won't work that way.
They will.
Yeah, they will. First thing that's going to happen, Hillary is going to have a law passed, a special order if she has to, having everybody register your firearms. Register your firearms. And anybody that has a firearm that does not register at its local police station, which puts it into this big federal bank, anybody that doesn't do that, they will make it very clear that if you get caught with a weapon that's unregistered, you're going to have mandatory, federal mandatory time. Let's say 5 years, 10 years. They're going to put you in jail. And once again, they're not trying to put everybody in jail. They're just trying to put enough people in jail till the rest of everybody gets the point. Remember, blackmail, extortion. So now, once you've registered your firearms about 6 months later, something's going to happen, an event. And they're going to come out and they're going to ask you to conform. They're going to introduce conforming legislation. Now, conforming is a military term for knowing the weapons you should have in a mission. So, for example, you can see them having a hearing, congressional or senatorial hearing. And let's just, by example, say, well, let's see, shotguns. What can shotguns be used for? Well, they can use them to hunt. They can, and they're also able to protect you and defend yourself. Okay, so shotguns are okay for the people to have it. Then you get an AK-47 with 30, 40, 20 round magazines. And in this hearing, they're going to say, well, what is that for other than shooting people? And if it doesn't have any other, you can't take them. 40, at least not in Arkansas, you can't take a 30-round magazine into the woods hunting a deer. So what is it good for other than killing? Now, we would have them for personal defense. But that's another thing. If you don't turn in that, when they do the conforming, now they're going to tell you that everybody that has an AK-47, you've got to turn it in because it does not meet what's allowed for you, allowed you to have by law. Now, remember, they already got you having it because you had to report 6 months earlier. You had to register it. So they know you got it. They're going to come get it if you don't bring it to them. And then some of you might say, well, then I'll just hide it. I'll just slip one and I'll not even tell. Let me tell you what happens there. And they will make this very, very clear. If somebody's trying to rob your house, and maybe even harm you, and you shoot them with a weapon that was not registered, your penalty will be more than that of the person trying to rob you. So that's pretty slick if you think about it. Now, there's going to be people that say, well, I'll never register my guns in the first place. If you're married and have kids, you won't either. Because you can close your eyes, can't you all, and see this law comes out, your wife knows you have a cache of some weapons, and she tells you, you go register those guns, and you say, no, I ain't going to do that. Well, a wife has the ability, Coach, she has the ability to sway your opinion sometimes. And so all it'll take is a wife saying, okay, Coach, here's the deal. You mean you would put owning that gun above me and your kids? They'll shame you into doing it. You'll be turning them in. So, folks, you see, in 2017, this will be started. This will start with in earnest. They will, and see, everybody, coach, has a problem. You're thinking along the lines that your brain and your life's experiences allow you to think, all right? Where the Clintons have you, and we did it on purpose, people can't think in their own minds that anybody can do or would do what will do, the Clintons. So therefore, we got deniable plausibility right out of the chute. So.
And Larry, in the meantime, they've stacked the judiciary.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have a judge that's in your corner.
That's right.
And the judge is going to bring pressure on the sheriff, who should be the last mm-hmm. person standing. The Supreme Court's going to be stacked, and they're going to back her right to be able to grab the gun. all of this stuff, Larry. So this is a religious liberty, individual liberty hell that we're about to fall into.
About to fall into it. Now let's talk about religion. As soon as Hillary takes office, there will be a movement afloat. She'll be starting it. It won't happen right away. This will be started and resolved within her first term. But they're going to come up with a committee in the interest of getting along, in the interest of racial and religious harmony. They're going to use the 501c3 Act. And coach, you're not going to believe this. And by the way, this is my opinion. These are my opinions. I didn't wake up with an epiphany. I thought it out knowing then. But what they're going to do is they're going to use the 501c3 to conform preachers. And they're going to, over time during this 4-year period, they are going to tell you what parts of the Bible you are allowed to preach and which ones you are not. Now, I know people are saying they can never do that. That'll never happen. Oh, I'm sorry. I never thought that I would see churches having to go in and join 501c3 to be a church. They don't have to do that, but they do it. They do it.
And they'll make more demands for those who aren't.
That's right. So now you've got a pastor who has been officially told nationwide they won't hide it. It'll be out in the interest of not offending Muslims, in the interest of not offending Mexicans, in the interest of not offending Buddhists or anybody
tolerance
else.
Tolerance and diversity and all that stuff, right?
That's right. Here's what you're going to do. We are setting up a committee, and then we're going to bring in, so that everybody feels really comfortable with this, we're going to bring in an advisory panel of some of the top preachers in the land. I don't need to tell you, coach. Probably you could name those top preachers in the land that would go along with anything Hillary wants to do. So now your Bible is essentially going to be altered. It is. See, this is.
She already made that statement, Larry. She already made that statement that Christians are going to have to change their religious views. She already made that statement.
Now, here's the part that's going to be hard for y'all to believe, because you've never had to live it. I've had to live it. I mean, not every day of my life, but I've had to go into countries where it existed. What they're going to do, coach, after they have gotten the confirmation of all the churches that are going to do it done, then they're going to start putting a price on the head of preachers that dare to preach the parts of the Bible that are not allowed. They're going to claim, coach, that the Bible's outdated. Do you realize when that Bible was written? Gosh, they didn't even have computers back then. So it can't be, you know, it can't be this great of a book today. It's got to be redone to fit with modern times. And then if you get caught, Mr. Preacher, preaching outside of the guidelines, you'll be put in jail. Now, soon after that, don't be surprised if in that first 4-year term, this part may not come until, quote unquote, a second 4 years. if there is one. But they will start arresting anybody that is daring to affront, you know, Islamists, you know, whatever. Put you in jail. Put you in jail. And you say, well, that can't happen. We hadn't been listening to me. You do not understand the Clintons are bringing organized crime. They're bringing a Loctite organized crime syndicate into our government. They will have the power, Coach, to do anything they want to do. There will be nobody left standing to stop them. You got it? Nobody. And that's what's scary about Hillary. I mean, I'd be worried about this kind of stuff with Bill, but not to the level I am with Hillary. Hillary has no more compunction to order her Gestapo police force to go out and shoot a handful of American citizens just because than I do walking across my living room floor. She has no compunction, but she knows one thing, because we talked about it. They know one. I didn't talk about it with her. I talked about it with Bill. One thing that they know, any Christian that halfway tries to live up to the Bible, identify a source, Coach, more powerful than Hillary. Yeah. You see, she's not going to share control with anybody. And if you value Jesus Christ above her and what she wants, well, hang on to your butt.
So Larry, in jail. So Larry, what's our end game? I mean, let's say we got 5 days to do. We know what we need to try to do in the next 5 days. What if Hillary Clinton is elected? What's our end game, Larry? I mean, you painted a picture. What should we begin to do immediately?
If she gets elected, I've told you, you've got one chance. I probably won't be here to see it. Y'all will have to do it. You've got one chance, and that is states' rights. Everybody will have to go feverishly, aggressively to find one state legislature, one people of that state, and one governor that when they pass a law, when they pass a law that they want it, let's take North Carolina, for example, their voter ID law. If this is post the election and Hillary's elected, what North Carolina should have done already when it was thrown into federal court and they got their subpoena from the federal court saying we're going to hold a hearing on such such day, the governor of North Carolina should have said thanks, but no thanks, we're not coming. You have no jurisdiction in this matter. None. And you can strip Washington of its power if we transfer the power, Coach, back to where the power was originally meant to be, back with the people. This is a bottom-up government by design, not a top-down government.
Amen.
So what do you do if she wins? Everybody saddles up immediately, immediately. And you spread the word about states' rights. And again, people are going to roll their eyes at you. They're going to look at you and tell you you're nuts. Nuts. Well, let me give you proof, Coach, that states' rights still will work. You want to hear it?
Yes.
You ever hear Colorado?
Marijuana.
Marijuana. See, federal government didn't want them to legalize marijuana. The state of Colorado and the governor, I ain't saying it's good, bad, or indifferent. Doesn't look like it's been very good for him. Gave him money, but it gave him a lot of trouble. But Colorado stood up and said, no, we're going to make marijuana legal. And they did. They did. And you know what? The government couldn't do a thing about it. They didn't even try. Didn't even try.
That's also, friends, the doctrine of the lesser magistrate. My buddy Matt Truella. DefyTyrants.com, DefyTyrants.com. Courts don't make law. We've allowed the judiciary to overstep their bounds. There are vehicles that we have, but we have got to get – we need a two-faceted game plan. Number one, if Hillary doesn't win, and number two, if Hillary does win. But actually, Larry, that states' rights issue works no matter who wins.
That's exactly it. That's the beauty of the states' rights, 10th Amendment. If Trump gets in, he wants to drain the swamp. Isn't that what he said?
He did.
Well, he's not going to drain the swamp. He's not going to be able to go to Congress and get them to pass a thing putting term limits on themselves.
Right.
It's not
right.
going to happen. And he's not going to be able to break the bond between the huge lobbyists and the billions and trillions of dollars the lobbyists are spending on these politicians to get them to pass laws that benefit their companies and their industry. So what has he got to do? He's got to be, if he wins, he's got to stand on the podium and tell people to start implementing states' rights.
Yeah.
You see, that's something we can do. We can do. Now, we can't get to every governor. A lot of governors are Democrats, and they're in with them. But some aren't. And the one thing you've got over all of these people in elective office, and never forget it. You know, Coach, they want one thing. One. They don't care about us. They don't care about the war with Cuba or anybody else. They don't care. They care about one thing, keeping their job. Their job. And we've got to use that on them. Because at least if Trump wins, they're going to get a rude awakening. They're going to realize that, you know what, you cross the people will get rid of you. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, Larry knows this every time I've been on the conference call. The one thing that we can do over the next 3 or 4 days is get into the spiritual dimension of what's really going on. Because there is something happening in the spirit.
There is.
And we've got to get and connect with these things that he's talking about on the physical level of what we have to do as a people, you know, with a vote and everything is absolutely right. But we've got to get a understanding of the spiritual dimension of what is really going on and push it through. I don't care if you know a pastor or don't, you got to get it into the church. This is one thing that we did one time a long time ago. We were in a church. And they were talking about, it was a Sunday night, everybody was half asleep because they were talking about it. And I stood up in the middle of the guy's sermon and I said something to him about what was coming and what was going on in this particular area of the state of Washington. And I said it and it stopped them and they all woke up and said something. And that's what we have to do in what's coming up now. We have to start standing up and saying something that can stop all of this stuff. And so that's what I want to say is this is a spiritual dimension. We got to do it and we can do it this weekend.
Amen. Amen. Robert.
Yeah, Coach. I want to apologize up front for what I'm fixing to bring to the table. Mr. Nicholas, I respect you, but if you've been involved in all this, why do you wait till the damn last 4 days and all before we start bringing this up? If the dam is going to break, then we don't need to be mixing up no mortar and putting it in and trying to stop the leak. You telling us she's going to steal the election no matter what. So, in my opinion, if you can't stop the dam from breaking, then you need to go ahead and start building a new one. And if it means that the news media keeps talking about that there's 300 million guns in America, and the right wing watch, my name is Robert Sellers of Georgia, so you'll know it, then it means that people need to grab their guns, their baseball bats and whatever, and when the 300 or 500 people in Washington wants to go against our view, then it's time that we take to the streets and we take this country back or die trying.
Larry, do they want that, Larry?
They
want to provoke us into that?
You bet. They would love that. Now, Robert, so that you don't hate me too bad.
I don't hate you. I've been
trying, Robert, for 28 years, buddy, to get this truth out. Had anybody have listened to me all this time, we wouldn't be with 4 days out trying to do it. You can ask right here on this program. You can ask Michael. He's known me nearly a year now. I have been warning against this, begging to get it out. I beg Donald Trump to get it out, use his platform to tell this. But no, you know, he had all these guys around him that are so damn smart. Well, now it's on us, Robert, and I'm fixing to leave this world. And I'm totally mad. I'm ashamed. I'm a failure. It didn't need to end up this way. There had to have been something, Robert, along the way I could have done that I didn't do, something I did that should have been done better. But I don't know what it was or what it could have been, because I've tried everything. This is not just now on us. It's been coming.
Well, Larry,
Alex Jones on some of his shows, going back 20 years, I've been telling it on his program. But you know, anyway, go ahead.
Well, here's the truth, though. There are people watching this right now that don't believe it. So the problem that we've had is, number one, the dissemination of the information. The average radio station, radio program, they're not going to carry it. They're not going to carry it. The church isn't going to believe it. And sadly, the pastors are going to oppose it. That's really kind of the mess that we find ourselves in. I agree with what Robert said. If, you know, here we are trying to make a half court shot at the last second. I appreciate that. But I would say also, I know that you've been fighting hard, and people, hey, Larry, people say you're crazy, right? Who wants to listen to that crazy Larry Nichols? Who wants to listen? And that's where we are. So no matter how loud you blow the trumpet, some people are going to plug their ears and not listen.
Well, and then you've got the other side of that. When I do get something and get it out, then the media has attacked me like they have Donald Trump. But see, that's the thing about the unfairness of the media that you've been able to see with Donald Trump. They come out and make some kind of wild accusation against me. Well, where do I get the space? Where do I get the place in the TV or the newspaper? Where do you get a place for me to give my rebuttal and prove that I didn't, or it wasn't what they said? You don't get it. So you see, no matter what they say, 80% of the population is going to believe it, even if they don't believe it totally. 50% of that group are going to go with the thing that, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, so he must be nuts. And then you find people like you, Robert, that justifiably you're sitting there. A guy called me the other day just on fire. Well, why aren't you bringing this stuff out? You know, what? You're the one that did it. You're the one that's kept it from coming out. No, I'm not. No, I've tried. Michael, tell him, please. Tell him what I've tried to do that you've been a part of just since you've known me.
Yeah, it's true. You have been saying it all along. And that there are some loyal people to you that are trying to do their part of the things that you suggest we do. And it is happening. And that's why I say the spiritual dimension is so strong. Amen. Amen. In this whole thing. We've got to keep that in our minds while we're doing all of this struggling with what, you know, trying to understand what Larry's saying to us, because that spiritual dimension is so important. Amen. If you are a born-again Christian and you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe you received the Holy Spirit when you were born again, then use it, because everyone has it. And we've got to be familiar with it inside of ourselves and walk in it.
Amen. Amen. Listen, I'm going to wrap this up. Larry, we sure appreciate you. Now, folks, listen. Go ahead, JR. You want to say something?
I want to say this to Larry and everybody else that's on the call. Larry, you did what you knew when you knew. And that's the important thing. Don't kick yourself. No. When you knew, you did, and you did the best you could. So please don't feel bad about that. And we all pray for a peace for you that just surpasses all understanding, brother. God bless you for your work.
Yeah, Larry, I second that. And by the way, guys, Larry doesn't know how long he's going to be alive. He told me the other day he hopes he makes it till Election Day. But he needs funds. If somebody out there, it's Larry Nichols.info. You can go right there and donate to him. He needs help with medicine, with being put on the breathing device. He needs financial help. So if some people could, you throw 10 or 20 bucks his way, LarryNichols.info. It will help keep this guy alive, and maybe he can see the – maybe, Larry, you'll be able to see us turn back this wicked assault upon America, because I know that would be your heart's desire for your children and your grandchildren.
You bet. And by the way, if you want to use PayPal, folks, just go to Nichols Live at PayPal and NicholsLive.com at PayPal. But look, to all of you on this program, I understand better than any of you do. Better than any of you can understand that I helped design a system that's destroyed the future for my grandchildren and yours. But selfishly, I know it's destroyed the future for mine. So what I've got to do is every breath I've got, every chance I get, I've got to try to tell the truth to people about what's coming and try to find that magic thing, if there is such a magic thing, that will make people stand up and look around and see what's happening.
Amen. Listen, we got to pray like it depends on the Lord, and we have to work like it depends on us. We have to do both. Listen, I want you to know something. I'm not afraid. You haven't scared me today. I'm smart enough to understand what's going to happen if we don't stand up and push back. Let's trust the Lord to do a miracle in America. I tell people he's ambidextrous. While we think he's working up here, he's working over here too. The Lord is doing something in this land, and Christians, pray and fast over the next 3 and 4 days, 5 days, that the hand of God is going to move. And then let's get our hearts prepared for whatever has to come on November 9th, because November 9th, the job is just beginning. Win or lose, whether Hillary's in jail or Hillary's not in jail, the battle begins for real on November 9th. God bless you, Larry. Thanks for being with us. Guys, thanks for joining us down there. Robert, did you have one more thing you wanted to say there? I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. I wasn't trying to be ugly to you, Mr. Nichols, so I would like to pray for you right now, if you'll allow me.
Yes, please do.
Please.
Our Holy Father, we come to you in a time of need. And I thank Mr. Nichols for telling the truth, Lord. And I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, that you'll heal Mr. Nichols, Lord, and that you'll show this ungodly world and the system that he worked for, Lord, unknowingly, Lord, that he will use what time he has left, Lord, and that you will touch him and heal him, Lord, so we can defeat what's coming, Lord. I know that in Revelation, Lord, it talks about the great tribulation, but I do believe in your holiness, Lord, in your power, and you are above Satan and all his workers. So this moment, Lord, I ask for forgiveness if I offended anybody. And I ask that you touch Mr. Nichols and that you heal him so, Lord, that he can bring the truth to the light, Lord. We're at the very last moment, Lord, and we need you. And that's when you work most mightily, is when man has done everything he can. And there's no one else that can help us other than our God and Creator and our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. Have mercy upon us, Lord, and forgive us of our sins, of my sins. We give you praise and honor and glory, for it's in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, folks, we do this every morning, 7 to 8 o'clock every morning. For those of you who are watching this for the first time, we talk about a manly gospel, to occupy until he returns, to stand up and defend our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to do what the scripture says. A wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. It's not about us. This is a tag team handoff from one generation to the next, and we have dropped the ball, and we pray not that Donald Trump will make America great again, but that we together can make the church great again. It is our only hope to make the church great again. God bless you all. Thanks for joining us. Thank you for being with us, Larry. And folks, let's not give up the ship. Let's keep in there and fight to the very end. The Lord said, occupy till he comes. In Jesus' name. We'll see you next time.